is to come up against fortified cities. It's the greatest privilege. It's one after you've taken one Jericho. Then you have a series of meetings like we just had. You just keep going. And there's another AI. And then there's another city. And there's another city. And then there's another one. And the greatest privilege you'll ever have is to step back up to the plate and go forward and feel the resistance and know that it cannot in any wise stop you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Here's your opportunity. That you can sit and think about it. Wherever your week's going or your next week. And I can promise you one thing. You won't be any different when you leave here. You can fight the devil all week long with your mind. And you won't be any different. Next year at this time, if you fight him with your mind, you won't be any different. All your determinations, you won't be any different.
That's right.
But if you yield yourself over to the Holy Ghost, stronghold after stronghold will come down. So the best I can tell you, well, I want to talk to you later about such and such. No, that's okay. But I can tell you, I won't do you any good or you won't do me any good if you don't yield yourself over to the Holy Ghost. Because I don't have your answer. I don't hardly know anything, to tell you the truth. All I know is how to lift these paddles up to get him to come. Hallelujah. I got that much sense. I know how to lift these up and let him come and bring peace to my life. Hallelujah. So that's an invitation.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Wars and fightings, I prophesied through James and said, wherein come these wars, fighting, strifes, and debates? Know this, that the enemy knew this much about my church. The things I said in 1 John was the very heart and very soul of the Father. If one thing I could give you, and one thing I could tell you over and over again, love one another, saith the Spirit of grace. For in this is all of the law and all of the prophets fulfilled. In this every marriage is healed. In this every body is healed. In this, every mind is restored and strength is renewed, saith the Spirit of grace. Know this, that your enemy and all his venomous attacks, witchcraft, emulations, seditions, and everything that could possibly raise its ugly head is brought underfoot.
Thank you, Lord.
Bye.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Bye. Love. Saith the Spirit of grace.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you. For oftentimes, He'll cloud your mind. And He'll even give you aspirations of seeking after this, running after that, finding all exciting kinds of revelation, this, that, and the other, all to keep you camouflaged, smoke-screened against the reality of what truly sets the world free. Saith the Spirit of grace. So do not pass this over as, oh, a lovely fruit to be had at one's disposal. No, this is my heart. This is my soul. And if you possess this, you possess all things. Saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Again, man. The same. I got to have that again. I got to have that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you.
Hallelujah,
thank
Jesus.
You,
my
Lord,
thank
you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
Ne media fresia. What do you think about this, Pastor? Love, take care of that. What do you think about this? No, love will take care of that.
Yes, hallelujah.
What about this? No, you walking in more love will take care of that.
Yes,
oh, no, but it hurts right here. You walking in more love will take care of that.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I can't figure it out. You walking in more love will take care of that.
Thank you, Lord.
You think love fixes everything. I think somebody bigger than me just said that.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Thank you, Lord. Love, love, love.
So why don't you lift your hands and magnify Him through this one more time.
Thank you,
hallelujah,
love,
Jesus. Ikaros.
The love of God.
Haven't I called you to more than this, saith the Spirit of grace? For you can settle for all these things and live quite miserable, or you can believe what my word says about you and step up to a higher place and choose out of your own will where you'll go. Why believe the lie? Why believe the lie that this world or anyone in it has any dominion over you? For in taking that unto yourself, you choose to live under a place that I provided a dominion over, saith the Spirit of grace. For I cannot supersede your will. As much as I love you as son and daughter, I cannot go past. I cannot go past what you choose. For as you chose me as your Father in the regeneration and in your salvation, I stood and waited until that time that you chose me. And again, whether or not you live victorious in these hours or even till the end of your life, for you'll spend every year like this year, and every year until your death, you'll continue to let things reign over you, always believing that someone or somebody or something had the power to rule over you. It is not your enemy that holds this dominion over you. It is your freedom of choice. And in believing my word, the moment that you believe my word and choose life, then you'll start a journey in my spirit that will prove to you that what you believed all along was only a lie. But you'll rejoice, not with condemnation and fear, but you'll rejoice in the freedom that you knew now and in the days ahead. For I can make up much, much ground, saith the Spirit of grace. And I can supersede and run past years of failing and years of dominion of the flesh and of the enemy. So choose life. Choose life. Choose life, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. It is Yanok, Yanok. And he said, through revelation, far too much. Far too much. And you don't count the enemy. You're not sober enough. Count him as a real formidable foe. He'll kill you because he's got that much. But then again, people will continue to say, I don't know why I'm under such an attack. He's just fighting me. And they'll give him a place of dominion. Do you know the moment that you choose? I'm not talking about him choosing. The moment you choose to step up and claim God's word. I'm not saying use it one time. I'm talking about drawing a line in the sand and say, I'll never go back. Well, the devil. Do you know one of the greatest mysteries of all mysteries? I mean, it just The greatest of all mysteries besides His love is the power of the will. The power of the will. That freedom of choice. He gave that to every living, breathing creature that He created with a spirit. Whether it was angels or human beings. Well, somebody's pushing my will. No. The devil's been... I can't get out of this box. He's got my will under a subjection. Listen. If that was true, if that fallacy was true, then you'd have to go back and reconcile the very first fall. See, it's so easy to blame something on somebody else. It's so real easy to blame it on the devil. He's invisible. He's messing up my home, messing up my marriage. He's messing up. No. He'll only go as far as you will Him to. No. You don't understand, Pastor. There's a devil. Okay, if it's a devil, if it's always a devil that's affecting your will, then my question to you is, what devil did the devil have? What? See, nobody tempted him. He was in a perfect place, loving God. And he just chose one day out of his own will through a process of time. And if you think God put that black spot in him so it could fester, you're a sick puppy. Because the Word says in God there is no darkness at all. So I mean, you even in heaven, and if it would happen in heaven, how much more on planet Earth does your will come into play? I mean, nobody tempted the devil. He just chose out of his own will. Hey, I think I could get bigger than him. Well, they got witchcraft on me. We just had somebody teach us, so I believe in all that. But listen, witchcraft, devils, demons, no matter what. Hallelujah, Jesus. You guys have been great. You can be seated. Absolutely. Hold on just a minute. Wait just a minute. Let me turn this off. There you go. She said she has a miracle.
Yes, it's a cousin of mine that he lives in Texas about almost a year. I came over here and prayed for him because he was run over a vehicle. And they told my family they're going to be like a festival. They're not going to move for nothing. Last Friday, I just received a notice that he's going to move by himself. He's walking. He's doing okay.
Hallelujah. You had a cousin that was run over by a vehicle. He was pronounced to be going to be a vegetable. And now he's up and moving.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to send that prayer cloth to here, but I don't have a way to send it. So okay. I said, okay, Jesus, I'm going to put it in my Bible. You know what you're going to do.
So. Thank God for a woman that stood. She stood for him. He's up and running around. Now you need to make sure that he knows that the reason why he's walking is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. A little guy that hung himself last week, 6 years old. 6 years old, right? And they said that they didn't think he'd live 24 hours. And we prayed for him. If he did, he'd be like a vegetable. And he's up and running around. The little guy answered the phone. She called Wednesday to find out about him, and he answered the phone, the little guy. Hallelujah. The little, I'm Rudy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Exalt you, Jesus. I worship you, praise and glorify you. Well, we just had a week, didn't we? If he did it all. We had a bunch of miracles through the week. A bunch of them. And beginning from the week before, a lot of people been being filled with the Spirit. If you've been filled with the Spirit just in the last week or so, stand up. Last 10 days. Go ahead. Some of you guys. Well, there's a family. Hallelujah. Ken, you're part of that bunch. Hallelujah. Glorify you. And there was a whole bunch of young people, teenagers that got filled. Hallelujah, Jesus. And saved the week before. Hallelujah. We had about 10 or 12 get filled. And that wasn't just in the meetings with Donna. That was before. And then during. 10 or 12 filled, several saved. Hallelujah. And a lot of baggage come off of people. Hallelujah. A lot of baggage. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just waiting in His presence because we don't come to church to go through a format. I just can't stand formats. I just can't stand them. Yes. Hallelujah. Stand up with that baby. This is a... Here, Grandma, give that testimony while Mama holds them.
This is the baby I'll
No. Go ahead now.
This is the baby I'll pray for.
No. Now, talk loud into it.
This is the baby that was prayed for a few months ago. That they said that he would not be able to focus, and he may have brain damage. His motivational skills would not work. He's crawling. He's pulling up. He's sitting up. He's saying, "Mama, Daddy," and of course, Nana.
Hallelujah.
And God just told us what I know it.
Hallelujah,
and
Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't you just, as Dave says, some things belong to God and all the glory is one of them. Why don't you just stand and lift your hands and magnify Him for these worshipful praise reports. I love you, Jesus. Praise and glorify you. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glorify you, worship you, magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you. Praise and glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Matt, if you can give me the lights. Kathy? Where's Kathy? Boy, Kathy, come on up here. I glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Would you give Miss Kathy a great big hand as she can? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah. Everything He said, and everything He said, and everything He played, and everything she sang, glory. It's so good to be back in the slot. I don't know if any of you ever saw slot cars, but they have a little thing on the bottom that makes them stay in the track. And I've been off just a little bit. an ugly place. But I'm okay now. I'm back in the slot. Y'all pray for me that I stay there. It's so good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He is risen forevermore. Forevermore. We're not those waiting for Him to come. We're not promised that He's going to get here. It's finished. Forevermore. We might be waiting for even more good to come, but He is risen forevermore. Jesus is alive. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Yes.
I worship You, Lord God. Forgive me, just as my brothers and sisters, for not being everything that I'm supposed to be. Pray for me that I can become that, because I don't want to fail any of you or anyone else the Lord sends me to. I want to be able to be who I'm supposed to be. I brought this little excerpt from a book that I, from time to time, pick up and look at. It's called God Calling. And it says, "Self kills power. Dwelling with me, desiring only my will, and to do my work, my spirit cannot fail to pass through the channel of your life into the lives of others. Many think it is humility to say they do little and are of little value to my world. To think that is pride. What if the pipe were to say, 'I do so little, I wish I could be of more use.' The reply to the pipe would be, 'It is not you, but the water that passes through you that saves and blesses. All you have to do is see there is nothing to block the way so the water can flow through. The only block there can be in your channel, in our channel, is self. Keep that out and know that my spirit is flowing through. Therefore, all must be better for coming in contact with you, because you are a channel. See this, and you will think it natural to know they are being helped, not by you, but by my spirit flowing through you as a channel." Thank you, Jesus. In this moment, Lord, and for your purpose, empty me.
Empty me. Hallelujah. That's what it's about, isn't it? We've been speaking the truth in love lately. We've been going and studying the Ephesians. Boy, the study has been incredible. And the last couple of Wednesday nights prior to, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath," doesn't mean anything like I was ever taught. Well, you better get that settled before you go to sleep. And that's good. But that was not what Paul was talking about. But when you find out what he was talking about, it was incredible. Then he said in this same chapter, he said, chapter 4, he said, "Speak the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him who is the head." It goes on two more times in that same chapter to speak the word truth. But those two times, actually there's two major words in the New Testament for the word truth. The first one, he said, "Speak the truth in love," is the word profession and doctrine. We're supposed to be professing to each other, speaking that kind of truth. Things like, you know, Immokalee is saved. Immokalee's in revival. But way past that, right down into the integration of the sanctimonium of your home, you're speaking His truth, His doctrine. Not letting foul things come out of your mouth. What is your profession? Just speaking the truth in love. But when he got a little bit later in the chapter, he said, "The truth is in Jesus." He said, "You've not learned or heard or received these things of the world from Him, but the truth is in Christ. It's in Jesus." And that word truth is the word reality. It's reality. You say, what you're giving me is an evil report. That's a fact, but it's not reality. Reality is that Jesus died for that mess. And if you'll profess something over it and go where His Word's at, then He said, each man, the next time He said, each man speaking, He said, "Wherefore put away lying, speak the truth Each man with his neighbor. Each man with his neighbor. So knowing what he said at the beginning of that chapter, and knowing what he said that Jesus was the reality of all things, I know this. Boy, it was some good teaching. You got to get it if you weren't here. If you weren't here. But I know this. When you come to me, I have an obligation to speak the truth to you in love. If you come to me and say, I'm being, my world's torn apart. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean to tell you, man, I love that testimony. Kathy says, I'm back in the slot. Hallelujah. You know, when you're in the slot, Amber calls it her bubble. When you're in the slot or in the bubble, nothing necessarily changes out there, but everything changes inside. And you find yourself invincible on the inside, ready to take on all comers because you're walking with Him. Now that is truth. So when you come and you're wobbly kneed and you think your whole world's to the end and you cannot go on another step, see, as the one, that, as a neighbor to you, He said, each neighbor speak truth. So speak the truth one to another in love. We did an example on Sunday, that Wednesday night, and had people stand up, and there were ladies, and Candy stood beside me, and these represented satellite issues in your life, and some of them far more important than the other. But you got something that's staring you down, like a killing disease, or a marriage that is going bad, or some kind of business that are failing, and then you come. You're gonna need to vent that to somebody. You think so? Now, here's what Paul was saying. When you're going to share that, you have to do one thing. You have to lead them all the way back to the absolute truth. To the absolute truth. If this pulpit here was Jesus and He is reality, He is truth. It's not wrong for somebody to be bleeding. I mean, they got a big wound. The world's falling apart. The devil's coming. And I mean, he's coming fast and furious. So we're supposed to be hooked up to one another and love each other. So we're supposed to pray for each other. We are. But here's the deal. When you come and you're hurting and you're bleeding and you're torn inside and everything's... My obligation to you is this. Before I can come over here. You three stand up. Okay. So Candy, come here. Candy's come to me. I'm not talking about husband and wife. And this is not a... She's come as another believer and said, my God, I can't go on like this. My world's falling apart. I got all these issues. I said, these are issues. To me, they really are. No. They're good issues. I'm telling you the truth. They're good issues. Come this way, Amber. This one is real close to her. This one, just kidding, torments her. This is a... If I had it like I did that night, everybody stood in different places and some were close and some were far. And I picked on all the women because Candy is one. But this is a... Let's see, that's that husband. Because he's real close. Or it's that home that's messed up. Move in a little closer, Amber. I mean, this is night and day, 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 night and day. So Candy comes to me, I've fallen apart. I cannot make it any further. See, before I go, before, this is what Paul was saying. This is speaking the truth, the reality of things. I know Candy is born again, Spirit-filled. The only reason why that Satan can be tormenting her world with this issue is the Candy has not been fellowshipping enough with that. Now, I don't have to say it mean to her. But if I speak that truth in love and I say, okay, here's where we're going. I've got to help her. She's asking for help. The first thing before I go, before I get involved. I mean, this is her marriage. That's a bad back. On and on and on. Or finances. Do you know, if I begin, Candy's talking to me about this. If I begin to go with her to that issue and discuss it and try to brainstorm it, well, I think, you know, it'd be good. Maybe y'all need to take another second honeymoon, or maybe blah, 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 blah. And all those things. If I do any of that before I speak the truth, which He is the truth, and take her back to this and say, okay, Candy, let me just ask you something. I know this is torment. How much time have you been spending with Him? How much have you been wrapping your arms around Him and Him wrapping His arms around you? Because if I go to that issue before I go to this, I'm getting involved in a lie. Because it's a lie for me to discuss. Because anything outside of Him is a lie. And when I begin to entangle myself, oh, wait a minute, let's talk about your finances. Let's talk about this. Let's talk. If I don't take her back to the source and say, how much value? I'm not talking about windshield time. I'm not talking about, hallelujah, Jesus, after the first cup and then just before you, Jesus, I love you. You're still His. You're going to heaven. I'm trying to tell you how to come out of torment into a victorious life. If I go with her and discuss husband, finances, anything before I take her back here and say, honey, how much time have you been spending in your Word, His Word? Because if you don't get that fixed, all the satellite issues are just going to be the same tomorrow, the next week, the day after, the day after. Now, if I do this two or three times with her and she so goes and starts fellowshipping, I can tell, because the next time she brings it up, I'll be able to say, I'll listen, and she'll say, you know what? God's already told me, and she'll start telling me. God's been saying this to me. His Word, I found this out of 1 John, His Word. I can tell she's been fellowshipping in the Word. Then I can enter in and say, yeah, stay at it. Because He's going to change everything about you, and He's going to change everything about Him, and He's going to change everything about your finances, and you'll know the words of their mouth will give them away. But then again, if I tell Candy two or three times, you got to go back to that place, Candy. You got to go back to that place. And then she comes back, she wants to talk about the same issue, and I can tell. Now here's where we all make the mistake. People will wear us out. They'll wear us out. Because we already told them this, but they really don't want to discuss it because they're not doing it. So then we'll fall to the temptation, because we want to feel like we're compassionate. We'll fall to the temptation. I already told them that before, so I know they're not doing it, because every time I bring it up, they skirt it. So maybe I'll put a band-aid. Maybe I'll talk to them a little bit about this. And then you try to brainstorm with them and put some kind of band-aid on it so they'll think you're compassionate. You're getting back into a lie. What do I do? Just sit there and go, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because until those who know go back to this, I'm preaching real good now. Hallelujah. Glory. Whew, how did he take me over there? I was just standing in over here and he took me over there. I think you need to hug one another. Let's speak the truth in love. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Why don't you go around and give somebody a great big hug? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The life is in Jesus. We get an opportunity to speak that life both over your finances and over the church. somebody that was pretty mature was talking to me the other day about why, having had the Word in them, and yet nothing happened in a certain situation until, I mean, they're full of the Word, just full of the Word. Current full. Nothing happening until they opened their mouth. They said, "What? Why is that?" Listen, you know why? It goes all the way back to the very beginning. If you want to know the mystery of the power of your words, go back to the book of beginnings. The word Genesis means beginnings. Where we started at and how God formed us. And did you know that in everything that God did, He did not think it into existence. He said it into existence. There's probably dozens of times in those first few chapters, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. Do you know how often you ride around and let something torment you unchanged? When as long as it's in there, the word of faith is nigh thee, it is in thy heart and in thy mouth. I can change my world through my mouth. But my world can fall apart and I can be full of the word if I don't say it. Say it and say it and say it and say it and say it. Well, I just think it. That won't do you no good. I meditate it. That's only going to do so much until the enemy jumps on you real hard. And then the word said in the book of Genesis, God said, and God said, and God said, let there be light. I say Immokalee's in revival. I say that I have all my needs met according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I say that my body works and performs as Moses was 120 and his eye was not dim nor his natural strength abated. I say that my body is filled with life and grace and peace. I have no need of medicine, no need of crutches, no need of anything to add to. Well, you're getting a little fanatical. I'll live a fanatically healed life by my words. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Miss Gay is our queen of confession around here. Come and say. She's just going to say. And we're going to say behind her. And this is for you, your finances. And it's for us and our finances. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus. I bet everybody gets serious about their finances this morning.
Hallelujah. Jesus. We are a peculiar people. Hallelujah. If you're not different than your neighbor and your unsaved family, it's time to get in church and get before the Lord and get things going. Get things out of your mouth. We are peculiar people. We should be strange. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, You are provider. Angels have been dispatched to gather in all of the finances and everything necessary for this revival. Therefore, we say there is no lack. We operate from abundance. We operate from surplus. We have all. And we abound with many baskets left over. Our financial granaries are full because our King has found stewards that He can trust. And I am one of them. Father, if You need anything, come to my house first. Whatever You have need of, come to my house first. I've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. I am a first-class servant. Lord, I lay all my possessions at Your feet. And I say again, Lord, if You need anything I have, it's Yours. Hallelujah, Jesus. To your glory, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Would you just continue to stand? Hallelujah. Thank you for those confessions, Father. Would you say, I say? That on all those confessions, Jesus is my provider. I say the doors, opportunities, fulfillment of all grace comes to me and to my family on a continual basis. Thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars and extra dollars come into this house and into my house through this grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You want to bring those offering buckets up? Hallelujah. He is your provider. We have more than enough. By the way, Donna was so blessed. And she wanted me to thank you so much. She really got blessed financially. And it was a time for her. So, hallelujah. So why don't you just ask God. Go in to Him right now, Father. We thank You. On the basis of all these confessions, You're mounting up a great storehouse. And I bless You for it. We get ready to give in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And see, here the wheels turning. Sometimes people think, well, I say, if you need anything, come to my house first. And they think, I don't have nothing for him to get. What do you think that confession will do for you? He's got to go put it in there. The grace. That's why he said, some people say, nobody ever gave me too much. Everybody's all, you know, envy will kill you. It's a pitiful thing. He said it's more blessed to give than receive. And somebody said, I like the receiving part better. No. It's more blessed to give. Would you rather be the one who has the capacity to write the check or the one standing there needing to have the check? Because the one writing the check, he's much more blessed. Because he's got the wherewithal to write it. I'm standing there in faith confessing it in. He's saying, okay, I am along with Christ. Your provision here. What do you need? More blessed. Oh, I'd rather be on the blessed end than the receiving end. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, some of you will get it later. Some of you are still thinking somebody needs to write you a check. You need to get over there where checks get written. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Father, we receive this by all grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. One last time you can bring, stand. Don't greet each other this time. You've done all that. Bring it down and then we'll get ready for communion. All right. Hallelujah. Marty, come up to pray. We got to move right along now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just stretch your faith this way, Marty. Try it again. All things possible. There you go. You got it.
Amen.
Amen. That's it.
I thought we did pray.
We got to have another one.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that this is blessed. We thank you that our baskets do run over, personally, business, and the church's baskets run over. We thank you for it, Father. Great grace on this house and every house that comes to this house. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Get ready. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you just stretch your faith this way? Pray for me. Father, I love you. And I thank you for all of them. Worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for their giving, and thank you for their love. Thank you for your love to us, that you loved us so much, you gave us Jesus. And everything that we need is in Him. He is the truth. He doesn't have truth, He is the truth. And I love you, Father, and I give you all the praise. I receive their prayers for me, lifting me up into a place where I'm able to deliver your mind for this short season. And I give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So, 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and the 18th verse. And this is Paul. And he says, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. And Paul was addressing in 1 Corinthians a division that was in the church. And here he had heard and got a report that there was an ongoing continual division. And he said there was heresies, that's false teaching. False teaching was going on among them. But the reason why that it was manifesting, verse 19 explains that the reason why that it was a manifesting is because it was being approved. In other words, people were listening to it. You can't. Nothing can manifest unless you listen to it. But there was, and he explains in the first chapter, which we won't go there, that people were separating themselves into false doctrine, saying, well, I like this preacher better, and I like that preacher. And it just was dividing the whole bunch up. But he takes the opportunity to really address a greater issue. And the greater issue was what he had received from the Lord. And it was what was instituted to bring the whole body. It was one of the things that was instituted by Christ to bring the whole body always, forever, back to a place where they were always conscious of the work of Christ in them concerning their love one for another. And he says, verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So they were coming together, like as a group, a big church, but they were eating the Lord's Supper in the middle of it. And they were having a feast, but they were eating the Lord's Supper and trying to do communion in the middle of it. And he said, no, this is not the time to do that. And the reason why he was rebuking them and saying this is not the time to do that is that because they were taking away the sanctity, the consciousness of what God had instituted. In John 13, Jesus sits down with what we commonly call the Last Supper. Basically, in essence, he says, boys, this is the last time I'll eat with you guys until the kingdom comes and all things are fulfilled in it. And from that, something so powerful that only you and I can look at through the eyes of Jesus is that one of those men destined, not destined of God, but of himself, because he had given himself over to the lasciviousness, the lust of this world, and Judas was going to betray him. And Jesus washed his feet and turned around and said to us, happy are ye if you do these things, because I've given you an example. Well, that was the Last Supper, but it was the first one in the New Testament. It was the first one that the New Testament was about to be birthed. It had not yet been birthed. Christ's blood had not yet been shed, but it was speaking of just what was prevalent and what was about to happen. Well, Paul seen this all in a vision. He got it all from the Lord. He wasn't even there. He wasn't even one of the 12. Christ came to him and said, Paul, this is why I did what I did. Here's the sanctity of it. It brought not only those 12 together, except for Judas, in a teaching, but it'll bring my whole body if they'll understand what my body was broken for. Well, Paul got it in a vision way after the cross, way after Christ on this earth. And he explains it right here in this chapter. But he says to the church, he says, don't do this communion service on the side when you all come together to feast. Because it's far more judgmental than that. It deserves a whole lot more sanctity than that. He said, when you come together, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one of you taketh before the other his own supper. One's hungry and another's drunken. What? He's what? I mean, he's like, you know, you should have grown past this. Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. 17, when we first started out, we started in 18. But in verse 17, he says, now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. So there was a better. The better was what Paul's about to show them, but that, which was the sanctity of the Lord's Supper and the reason why it was instituted. But the worse was that they were just including it in a hodgepodge of, let's do this as part of what the disciples and the apostles have said for us to do. And Paul said, no, wait a minute. You have your understandings darkened. And that's why he said, what? Have you disintegrated to such a place that your understanding is so darkened on this issue that you don't understand why this is instituted to begin with? He says, I've received of the Lord, verse 23, that which also I delivered unto you. He said, I've explained this to you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, that was John 13 and all the other Gospels recorded as well. When He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinking damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. And this is why he said, look, this is why you can't intermingle these suppers. You can't bring them into a intermingling. Because this is Paul took the moment in time, he seized it to say, you're destroying something so sanctified. Because if you'll use this for what it's worth, it gives you this. And this is what it gives you. He says, for this cause, verse 30, many are weak. That word is the word sick. Or sick like unto death. And sickly among you. And many sleep. Their weakness in their bodies, debilitations, sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, then we'd not be judged. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we have the opportunity in and of ourselves? But when we are judged, that's when we take that opportunity. We're chastened of the Lord. Now, He's my Father. He's your Father. And he says, we are chastened to the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. You know, here's the deal. The world is on a slide. And the world is dying of a lot of different things. And there's a lot of diseases out there. And there's a lot of different things. But did you know that you're supposed to be totally, absolutely, absolutely immune to whatever the world has to go through? Now, whether you do or you don't, and there's no condemnation of going to a doctor or getting a shot or any of that, but I can tell you, He wants us to know, even before you live up to it, He wants us to know that in Him, we don't have to die of anything that the world dies of. You should be 100-something years old in a sound mind with no aches or no pains. Pull your feet up in the bed, have all the kids around you with a good, strong mind and say, Papa, Mama is going home without disease, without abnormalities, without a dependency on this world. Because that is our... Now look, if we got born again, if there was enough power to get us born again, it's that same power that causes us to live a victorious life. It's that same power. And if you separate it and say, well, yeah, He got me born again, but I can't live whole in my mind and whole in my body and whole in... There's no separation in Him. When you got born again, you got the whole thing, whether you choose it or not. And He said, the world is dying of these things. And you, He said, church, you look like the world. You look like you get whatever they get. But it's not necessary. But He said, if a man would judge himself concerning... See, when we eat that bread and take that cup, here's where our mind goes another way that He's not necessarily saying. When He says we don't rightfully discern the Lord's body, and I can prove this to you because if you stay in total context with reading like we're taught around here, He goes right into the next chapter and talks about, if you say as the eye, I'm not an eye, a foot, I'm not a foot. He's talking about you and me being... See, Jesus has a real physical, literal, glorified body. And He also has a spiritual body. I'm part of His spiritual body. But when I take this cup and I take this bread and I begin to... When I begin to realize it was broken so you and I don't have to be broken, what I'm truly discerning here is I'm not discerning... It's not necessarily talking about... You know, I don't know how many times people have called healing lines during communion services. Like, okay, if you'll take this cup and this bread, now believe Him now. Believe Him now for His stripes, and that's all very much a part of it, for your body to be healed. While you're thinking about His body, no, while I'm thinking about His body, I'm realizing that His body was broken so you and I don't ever have to. Not just you and I, but nobody in my home, nobody in... See, we are what we are. I said a few weeks ago, I said the litmus test of who you really are is the abundance, what comes out of your heart at the hammer test. Somebody really passed the hammer test the other night. I saw him pass it. You know what the hammer test is? It's unguarded moments. It's pow and oh God! See, but here's the other thing too. We'll like an oyster shell. We know that we've had problems here or there. So we'll put layer after layer of we won't speak so nobody catches it. We'll think we've got it in front of Him. because that person did me wrong, or I've had problems with that person before. So we'll guard that part real good, and we'll just make sure, my God, that place is real guarded. So you probably won't catch anybody saying, and they shouldn't. But other unguarded places, I got a right to talk about them because I live with them. He's mine, she's mine. I've lived with him, I've put up with him, I can talk. Now find it in the Word and show it to me. Because you don't have no right. I gave birth to him so I can talk. No, wait a minute. You only got one well. You only got the same place that you got to go over here when your baby is sick and fevered and lay hands on him. Is the same place that you'll spew out. See, I don't. There's hardly nothing that I agree on with my president. But I don't hate him, and I don't spew hateful words towards him. And you can find out what's in the well by the. I got a right because I got a right. No, you. That body of Christ, there's this body and there's a body out there waiting to be born again. And if we don't reconcile them through our love, they'll never be reconciled. And you can find out what's on the inside of people and why we're not yet into revival, because in the most unguarded moments, you'll find that the church is full of real strong opinionations and I don't like that person. And you'll think, they'll think because it's a public figure or an insignificant part of the church, they got a right to say vile things or things that they don't know that's vile. Listen, you can stand up and be just as powerful. Do you know when God pronounces judgment on those in the end and He says, you're going to have to go into hell, and He's sending them into hell because they made the choice not to receive them. Do you know He's still not mad at them? He still wishes He could redeem them. It's just, it's too late now. He doesn't say, you're rejecting me. Go into hell. His heart is crushed. And even into the end, all power is based on love. And when He says, we take that bread and we discern the Lord's body, it is not just when He says that we're discerning. He says, when we're judged, we're chastened. I want those chastening stripes on me. Why? Because if I'll allow Him to convict me, not just a moment in time, not just a Sunday morning. I don't know what date is this in November, whatever it is. And I don't know when the next one will be, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. If I get chastened just during, this is a process that He says must exist in your life. Not on a given Sunday morning, but if this chastening works on you tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, next month, if you're allowing Him, the Holy Spirit, to come and chasten you on the inside and say, uh-uh, honey, you can't get in strife because it'll destroy you. And Smith Wigglesworth says, when you open your mouth to defend yourself, he said, you lessen the anointing. See, now he'll have you say things as an explanation, but when they want to rail on you and you want to buck up and say, well, I got something to say too. I think I can set you straight because I'm just as smart as you are. I got something. When you get into that, He's here, and the anointing is shrouding you, but when you step over into that world, the Holy Spirit backs up because He's saying, okay, you can handle it. I want Him wherever I go. I'm not perfected in this, but I'm crying out for the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ to chasten all the inward parts. And this is where we all make our mistake. We think there's certain places that we have a legal right because I live with them. I gave birth to them. They're a president. They're this. I can say certain things. Listen, it all comes from the same well. Even if you've got an opinion, it better be based on love. And every rebuke better be, first of all, you better not get anybody else involved with your rebuke. If you call anybody else and tell them, I'm going to go rebuke this person, you're out of order.
Do you know when you bring one other person in on an issue before you've gone to that other person, you're totally out of order? When you bring another person in and say, I need to tell you what such and such has been doing to me, and you spill out your guts to them before, now she's one with me, and sometimes I'll say, pray with me. Hallelujah to God. Well, I don't know where or why I went there. Probably for somebody on the internet. Thank you, Jesus. He says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come together unto not unto condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, I just worship you right now. I just worship you right now. I glorify you. I worship you, Jesus. Only your words. Only your words. When we look at the end and where we're headed. See, next Sunday, we'll have a bunch of bikers in here. Not in here, but out there. None of us are perfected in anything in this love walk yet as far as the end. But if you don't understand how free you are, you'll never work towards that. And if you don't understand that the bikers and bikers' girlfriends and all the world is looking for a bunch of people that are walking in love one towards another. When you read the book of Revelation, do you know all this ends for us? We win. I said, we win. Hallelujah. And a lot of times people will think, because they read how that man goes through battles and Satan fights God through man in these last day Armageddons and all that kind of stuff. They get the mystique. They get some kind of mystique in their mind, some kind of misappropriated thought of that here's God and here's the devil and man, there's going to be this horrible clash. Yes, there is, but through man, but blatantly God against the devil, there's no match at all. There is absolutely no, there's no match. I mean, there was a time in universe, in ages gone by, that Satan didn't even exist. The Logos, Colossians says that all things were made by Him and for Him, principalities, powers. I don't know if it was a million years or 10 million years ago, but Satan at one time didn't even exist. He didn't even exist as an angel. God created him just like He created us. Anything that is created cannot win over the Creator. And you know what? It's a really melancholy end to the whole thing. Not really for us. But you would think if Satan had any kind of the authority that the church has given him to rule and reign over them, you'd think at the end of chapter 22 or chapter 21 or wherever you're getting towards the book of Revelations, you would think that there would be this huge... I mean, God comes down and says, I'm going to cast you into the bottomless pit, and then Satan raises up and there's this huge, I mean, awesome battle between the two of them. It's just real kind of melancholy. The word says God just casts him in. First of all, the 1,000 years, it says an angel doesn't even name him. Just says he binds him with a chain and throws him in there. There's no fight. There's no fight. And then after that 1,000 years, it just says he's done with. Forever and ever, he burns in the lake of fire. Hallelujah's right. We can win because we have won. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. The book of Deuteronomy we oftentimes go to because it is a book that talks about the law and how that there were those in the camp of Moses who, when they stood before the judge, they were to be judged. And the guilty partner or the guilty one, there was a lot of fighting in Moses' day. It was an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth day. He said the one that would be judged, I mean, yes, he is the one. He's the guilty one. We've all decided under God this is the one. That one was to be laid down and beaten with 39 stripes, which was a typification of Christ. It said 40 save one, lest his brother would seem vile to him. We've gone through this time and time again. When it says in Isaiah 52, leading up to 53, they were astonished at his visual form, for no man was marred like this man. Now, there's been a lot of train wrecks. There's been a lot of, you know, airline crashes, car wrecks, where people were so mangled you couldn't. Is that your son? I don't know. It looks like him. But yet the word says more than the sons of men, meaning every generation perpetuated Jesus, his visual image hanging on that cross, was worse than anybody that's ever died under death. And you say, how could that be? Not because of the physical scourging and beatings as much. Other people concentration camps have put people under horrendous. But when the scourge of 4,000 years and every other human being who would ever sin, all filthiness, all uncleanliness, all sin from the garden all the way to Christ and beyond was placed on this man. And in the garden, he hated it so bad that he said, Father, if you, in essence, he said this, if you can figure out any other way. And he knew. Isaiah 53 says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. What did he know? He knew this. I've got to stay here and go through with this thing. I've got to fight it out. And he went one time, two times, three times back. And here's the Son of God having to make a willful, wantful decision. I mean, all of his life, the man knew the word. He knew, he had memorized Isaiah. He stood up in the temple at 12 years old. The doctors and the lawyers looked at him and said, how is it that you know the Word of God? He understood the Torah. He read it. He memorized it. And yet he knew he was supposed to die, but when it came right down to it, he knew this. I'm going to lose my communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to die. And when he said, God, why have you forsaken me? Believe me, God forsook him. But he forsook him so you and I don't ever have to be forsaken. His stripes, yes, they are for my physical healing. But his stripes go far more than just the physical anatomy of the body. They go into those places where hurts and malignments for years and things that you... Have you ever had thoughts and you just can't, you don't even know what you're thinking. You can't coin them. You know something's not right there, but something's coming at you and it's coming from a place of desperateness or a hurt or something the enemy's trying to twist, and you just cannot satisfy that knowledge of how can I get a handle on these? This is what Christ was feeling when the enemy began to pour this vial out on him. And the Father said, Son, I can't rescue you. This is what you're birthed for. But he did it. His stripes were so that in 2010, going into this next year, and presently in 2009, no matter what. Now listen, you think my last days of ever having to make a conscious decision, I've arrived? Absolutely not. But I know this. I know that tomorrow, on Monday, if he does come, and somebody crosses me up, or somebody messes up my family, or somebody does something worthy of hatred, I can't say, you know what, I'm the pastor. I'm going into... Listen, my authority is not based on my job title. My authority to conquer and to stay in love is based on this right here. And my communion with Him. And I know how to go. And I can take this. I've taken it privately before. You take it. It's not just for today. If you think it's just for today, you're far missing it. This is the initiation to remind you that on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday, you have to keep going back. How many times? I don't know. Thousands of times in your lifetime, you have to go to those stripes and say, Jesus, You were beaten. So however and whoever and how many times they make me say or feel on the inside like, I just want to hate Him. I just can't go forward. Jesus, here's the deal. Because you know what? You can bake Him a cake. Have Him over. Go out to eat with Him. Go through all of the kind of things that people say. And that stuff doesn't change by all that fruit. It changes by a place of intimacy with the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that place, all malignment comes down. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Well, I've got their picture up on my refrigerator and I just bless them every... Listen, that's good. Go into the place. Make application to His stripes. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. All right. We've had a good morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you please stand with me? Jesus, I love You. You guys can come and get this. Hallelujah. You know how we receive it? There is no formal way. In fact, it said, tarry one for another. I love these services. But I can tell you this. Whatever happens in these services, whatever happened with Donner, whatever happened, they're only fire starters. That's really all they are. No one service will ever really change your life forever. Except the one that you got born again in. That starts you out. Every other one just encourages you. Go this way, honey. Go that way, honey. Go this way. When you stand over in the corner or you sit down, realize that you're discerning His body. What body? Yes, His body broken, but His body means far more than His joints that were pulled out. No bones were broken, but His joints were pulled out of joint. I'm discerning that, Lord, but I'm really looking past that and I'm saying, Lord, Ralph is Your joint. Otto is Your joint. These were separated inside of You, so there's never a point in my future that no matter how it feels, it may the owie may be there for a while, but I can walk past it. And those are the foundations for revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to ask you to come and just receive it. Wherever you'd like to, with your family. We're blessed. Father, I just bless them now. As we receive this, let us receive it as unto the Lord and not unto man. And we give this time unto You, Father, by Your grace. Thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As you receive it, you'll be free to stay as long as you want, and then you can formally be dismissed. Hallelujah. Come and find a place. Amen.